2 weeks ago, I thought I was going to preach the whole message that day, but if you remember, I didn't get through the message that I had planned for that day, so we're going to finish it today. The title of the message is Holy Spirit Power, and this will be part two. We will reread our foundational scripture, Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. You know, the reason the Lord led me to preach this message, I believe in my heart, is because the battle that we are in the world right now, and we are in a battle, it's a war.
Yes, we are.
We can't fight it in our own strength, guys.
Right, that's right.
It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to be overcomers.
Yes.
And so we need to focus on the Holy Spirit and the fact that we are empowered. Now, the fact that I said we can't win it in our own strength alone, that is what it is. There are things we need to do. We need to stand up. I've been talking about this.
Right.
We've got to stand up for our God-given rights and speak up. Stand up and speak up. And actually, those two words were actually said. I poked my wife when the preacher said that. I was like, when we were down at the conference last week, I was like, hey, they said stand up and speak up. But so God's speaking a theme, and we need to walk in the power of the Spirit. So anyway, we're going to reread Romans 8, 1 through 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have those minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray, Lord, that your Spirit would descend on us, everyone, and open our hearts and mind to receive what you would have us to receive from your word and by the power of your Spirit today. Lord, as I bring this word, put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you've ordained this morning. Not a word more, a word less, and all that you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So a very quick recap. We just read it. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. We talked about last week, when we stay in the Spirit, we keep peace. We're able to have peace in the midst of the storm. When we turn from the Spirit and pay attention to our sinful nature, which our sinful nature is comprised of many things that the Spirit is not, one of them is unforgiveness, sinning in our anger. How many of you knew that it's not sin to be angry? There are things going on in our world and in our nation right now that we should be angry about. The key is that we don't sin in our anger, and that is only possible through the power of the Spirit of God. Right? I'm preaching to myself. You guys just come along. Because I've got tendencies when I get angry. And if somebody put themselves out there, you got tendencies too. Yeah, God help us, right? So, goes on to say, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, what that means is the Spirit of God dwells in you. Because what makes you born again is when you receive Christ, you are then baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so, we'll talk about that more later in this message, but that's the whole general consensus is if you are born again, we should not be controlled by the sinful nature anymore. We should be controlled by the Spirit because the Spirit indwells us. Okay? Trying to go fast because I got the second half of this message. We talked about the fact that through the Holy Spirit, each true Christian has the inward presence of God to empower them to do mighty works through God the Father, in the name of Jesus, and for His glory. Okay? The first major point we looked at was 2 weeks ago, and that was that the Holy Spirit indwells every born-again believer. Jesus said that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is better than His physical presence. Remember, we looked at the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 7 through 15. And Jesus said, He wrapped up that passage in verse 15 by saying, "All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." We are walking in a season right now, and have been for the last year and a half or so, where there has been a lot of prophetic. We are really in a very much a prophetic season. Now, we've also had to have wisdom in that because there are a lot of false prophets out there. There are a lot of those out there that are spreading stuff that is absolutely not right. So we really need to activate our discernment that comes by the Holy Spirit. And be careful what prophecies we believe, right? Okay, but we are clearly in a very prophetic season. There are different seasons in the way that the Spirit works. Something that I've been very much feeling impressed and am also in agreement with was something somebody preached at the conference we were at, is in talking about this, is that there is coming, when we come to the end of this season of, and I don't mean that prophecy is going to quit, but there is a lot of prophecy happening right now. When we come to the end of this season that we are in, where the prophetic seems to be at the forefront of what the Spirit is doing, then there is going to be an evangelistic outpouring.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Without saying too much, that is one of the two things that God spoke to me about personally, is what's coming in the evangelistic and what God is lining me up to have as a role in that. Y'all know I'm an evangelist at heart, right? If you've been around here a while, you know I'm an evangelist at heart. Yes, God called me to be a pastor, but man, what winds my watch is people coming to know Jesus Christ. And we are coming into a season where the great outpouring that we have been talking about and praying for a long time, it's coming. So then the prophetic will fade a little bit, not that it's going to quit, but there is going to be a major outpouring in the area of evangelism. And I'm telling you, I'm on board with that.
Amen.
Paul says that the Holy Spirit power enables us to do God's will. And we looked at that in Philippians 4, 12 through 13. And if you remember, I called that enabling grace. It's enabling grace to enable us to be able to, through the power of the Spirit, to walk in God's will in our lives and as a group of believers, as a church. The Spirit empowers us to be able to do that. Philippians 4, 12 and 13 says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Okay, that was where we left off 2 weeks ago. So, moving on, the next major point, the second major point. The Holy Spirit equips us with several supernatural powers. Supernatural. Things that happen outside of the realm of what is natural. That is what supernatural means. Things that happen that are outside of the realm of the ordinary, what we call natural. Through the Spirit, we can do those things. First one we want to look at is this. The power to create and be recreated. The power to create and be recreated. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Beginning to read. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Okay, so Jesus makes it abundantly clear, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Amen. Period. It's why Jesus is the only way. He's not one of many ways. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. John 14, verse 6. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He goes on to say, no one comes to the Father but through me. That makes him the exclusive Savior, not one of many, as people want to say today. He is the only way. Somebody might say, well, that's pretty narrow-minded, Pastor Wayne. Yeah, it is. But it's what God said. It's the way it is. No apology for that. There are some things we need to be narrow-minded on because God is. First of all, he made it abundantly clear as well that it's a wide road that leads to destruction and many go that way. But it is a narrow gate that leads to life and few find it. We live in a culture where people for years have wanted to believe that at least most everybody goes to heaven. It drives me absolutely bananas. It drives me crazy when I go to a funeral that I'm not doing and I hear the pastor talking about, oh, they're in a better place. And I maybe knew the person and I look at the fruit in their life and I'm thinking to myself, I'm probably not. Probably not, because Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. See, I don't know for sure because I'm not God, but when you examine the fruit, say, probably not. But it sounds so good, you know, to bring comfort to people. Well, we don't get anywhere giving false hope to people. We need to bring the truth to people. And God has empowered us by the power of His Spirit to bring the absolute truth to people. The truth is, you got to be born again or you're not entering the kingdom of God. You're going to land in hell. That's the truth. That's the absolute truth. God's word is abundantly clear on this. But people don't want to believe it. Oh, well, He's a loving God, and this was written over 2,000 years ago, and, you know, God's loving, and he wouldn't really send anybody to hell. You know, there's a part of that that's true. God really doesn't send anyone to hell. We send ourselves to hell by the choices we make. When we choose to reject the good news of the gospel, we cast ourselves into hell. The weight of that does not fall on a holy God. He provided a way. Jesus, the way and the truth and the life. I do feel like preaching. I missed the week. But I did go and get fed, so it's all good. That's a double whammy, you know. I miss a week, and I got this word pit up in me, and then on top of that, I go and get fed. You guys are going to get it today. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in other words, born again, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The old order of things has gone in our lives, and the new has come. My friends, I would say that's being recreated. Remember, the heading of this is the power to create and be recreated. So the Spirit of God comes into us at the point we are born again, and we are justified at that point, right? Justification happens right at that moment when we're born again. We're justified. Okay? Sanctification takes a lifetime. We are all in the process of sanctification. Or at least we should be. Are you still in the process, or are you just going through the motions? See, if we're getting sanctified, then God, by the power of His Spirit, is helping us carve those things out of our lives that are displeasing to Him. Sin. And we're all in the process, or we're supposed to be. If we're born-again believers, we're supposed to be in that process. The old has gone and the new has come. That is a new creation. So in other words, as we grow in our faith, what we think, our thought process begins to change. Can I get a witness? How about, you know, that process of sanctification as well? You know, some of the things that I thought were okay because I was focused on all the big things. Can't do drugs anymore. Can't be out getting drunk anymore. I was focused on all the big things. But there were a lot of little things that God wanted me to clean up in my life that at that point, when I was a new believer, I wasn't even aware of yet. But as the years have gone by, and it's been 39 years now walking with the Lord, there have been many things that the Lord will bring to the surface and say, I don't want you to do that anymore. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's the process of sanctification taking place. The end result is we're a brand new creation. I mean, we're a new creation at the moment we're born again, but that new creation keeps changing because of sanctification. We keep getting better and better as the power of the Spirit works within us and convicts us. Conviction is good. Sometimes it's not pleasant. But conviction is good. God uses that to awaken us to the sin that still resides in our lives, in our attitudes. My wife is winding up our grandson. I know what you're doing.
He's too much like a great grandpa.
So by the power of the Spirit, we have the power to create and be recreated. You see that clearly. Also, secondly, we have the power to change. We talked about that a little bit. Transformation. Transformation. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Transformation. Now, why did Paul write these words to the church in Corinth? Let's think about why he said, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. What he was alluding to is the fact that Moses, when he came down off the mountain, after being face to face with God in the burning bush, his face was glowing so brightly, apparently from everything I've looked at I could find about it, it must have been glowing like a 300-watt light bulb. It was bright. And it freaked the people out. They freaked out when he came down the mountain and got in front of them. So what did he do? He put a veil over it. And that glory that had soaked into his face, just being in the presence of God's raw glory, face to face with him, had soaked into him. Now, in his case, he wore that veil for a while, and that glory that was soaked into his face was fading. Every day that went by, it was fading a little bit. Okay? And eventually he was able to take that veil off because it didn't freak the people out anymore. What I'm saying is the glory faded. That's what I want you to get out of this. Okay? So, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. See, as we are being transformed, as we are going through the process of sanctification, as the Holy Spirit takes over more and more of us, the Lord's glory shines through from the inside to the outside, and God's glory shines on our faces, and it says ever increasing, not fading. It's the opposite. So God's ever-increasing glory in our lives. And I know that's true. Because my countenance changed when I got saved. I know it did. It has. I had teachers, you know, that would come up to me in a fast food joint or in a restaurant after I had gotten saved and say to me, "Hi, Wayne. You look different. What have you done?" I mean, seriously, I'm not pulling your leg. And more than once. And I would ask them, well, what do you mean? And one of them said to me, well, you look happy. That's what one of them said. And another one actually said, you've got a glow on your face now. That wasn't there when they had me as a student. Well, I didn't know Jesus. I was walking in darkness, man, when they had me for a student, and it wasn't pretty. I was not a good student. But they saw a difference, and it compelled them to ask me, what have you done? What's different? Well, obviously, that gave me an opportunity to share Jesus with them. And some of those teachers were already saved. Thank God for that, amen?
Yeah.
So, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed. We're in the process into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. You are a born-again believer, and you are being transformed, and you have an ever-increasing glory coming on you. That's good news, my friends. That is good news. You guys are quiet today. I'm never leaving again. Okay. Next one. Thirdly. We then receive the power of the Spirit to be God's vessel. Did you know you were a vessel? Did you know you're a clay pot? Did you know that you're a cracked clay pot? We're imperfect. We're cracked pots. We're all cracked pots according to the Word of God. The good news is God's glory shines through the cracks. So we have the power of the Spirit to be God's vessel through witnessing. Through witnessing of Christ, Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. Says, but you will receive power. This is Jesus speaking. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. He said you will be. He said you will be. You'll be my witnesses. That you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now understand, and I'm not, this message is not about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, but I have to mention it at this point because of this verse. I just told you when you get born again, you are baptized into the Holy Spirit. This verse is talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's a different experience. You get baptized with the Holy Spirit, then it comes with the gifts of the Spirit, like turbocharged, for those of you who are car guys. Myself, in my own life, I can't differentiate a whole lot between that because I got born again, which means I got the Holy Spirit, but it was only 7 days later that I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of tongues, and then the other gifts started operating in my life. It was only 7 days after I got born again. And I was a wild man, as you can well imagine. I had all of the Holy Ghost in the world, but I didn't have much wisdom to go with it. I was out tackling people. You need to know Jesus. I was an absolute wild man. My spiritual father didn't know for sure what to do with me. I'd go out and grab people and see, he led me to Christ, so I thought I had to bring everybody to him. I'm hauling people over there almost every day. I'm so serious. I was hauling people over there all the time. And he's so loving. He'd pray with the people. He said, "Brother Wayne, I wish I had a whole bunch of people as excited as you are." He said, "But Brother Wayne, we need to talk. You're wearing me out with all these people." He said, "You have the Holy Spirit in you. You can pray the sinner's prayer with them. You can lead them to Christ." I was like, "Really? Well, that was a revelation to me." I was like, "I can do that? That's okay?" "Well, yeah, that's fine." "All right, then." That was when I started just latching on to people and praying with them. I didn't know any better. Witnessing. I am. What I live for is to see people come to Christ and pass from death to life, from darkness to light. It's what I live for. Because see, if we don't reach the lost people in our circles of influence, they're going to continue on that wide road and they're going to go into an eternity without Christ. I've got a passion for that because I know how lost I was. And God reached me. So I know God can reach these people out there that are lost.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And if He can use me to reach a few of them, praise God.
Amen.
And if He can use you to reach a few of them, praise God. But we are empowered with the Holy Spirit to witness. We witness about everything else that's important to us. When we find a buffet that is $11.99 and it's got shrimp on it and prime rib, come on, you know what I'm talking about. We witness. "Oh, you gotta try this new place to eat. It's fantastic." Well, what if we took that excitement about our faith and said, "You gotta meet Jesus. He came into my life and set me free from the sin that was dragging me off to hell. And He cleansed me with His blood. And now I'm going to spend eternity with Him."
Amen.
Give Him praise. Woo. Might have got a little wound up this week. We get excited and share about our favorite sports team. We get so wound up, we'll hoot and holler and yell at the TV if we're not at the game. If we're at the game, we'll throw things on the field at the ref. Come on now, don't look pious to me. Because we get wound up. But then we come to church and we're worshiping Jesus.
Amen.
Come on, this will preach, guys. You know it's the truth. You can't even deny it. You can't look at me with all that pious. anxiety and say, oh no, I would never do that. I've been excited for Jesus for 39 years because he set me free from myself. He set me free from me. If I got what I deserved, I would be vaporized right in front of your eyes. But he set me free. Whew. He gives us the power to be God's vessel by sharing comfort as well. By sharing comfort with people. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 6. Got myself all messed up. Guys, we've got an awesome God. We've got a story to tell to anyone that will listen. And it's important because it's a matter of life and death. And the death we're talking about is eternal death. Yes. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 6 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. What's this talking about? Here's what it's talking about, guys. The things that we go through in our lives that we need God to bring comfort in our lives are allowed to come into our lives so that we can then, by the power of God's Spirit, bring comfort to someone else that is going through something very similar. As God's vessels, He empowers us to bring comfort to people in our circles of influence.
Amen.
Example. The 19th, which is 2 weeks from today, I believe. Is that right? The 19th will be Eli's birthday, the baby that we lost 19 years ago. That was one of the hardest things that we have ever gone through together, my wife and I. But in the last 19 years, because we went through that, there have been countless people that we have been able to sit face to face with and minister to and bring God's comfort and cry with them and say, we understand, because we do. I understand what it is to be in the room when my wife gave birth to a full-term child on his due date and hold that child and cut the umbilical cord. I did that on a baby that never made a sound. The silence was deafening. God was there. He was with us. He brought us through it. And He has, through that, been able to use us in a capacity that He would not have been able to, because we didn't understand. Now, that's one example of what could be many. But for me, that's a very real example. For my wife, that's a very real example. So when we go through hard things, we need to rise up in the power of the Spirit and say, Lord, I know You're going to turn this around and use it for good. As only He can. He who comforts us all in our troubles. Have you been through something hard in your life where God had to comfort you? Then you know what I'm talking about. You know what Paul was writing to the Corinthian church about and trying to help them to understand. Hey, listen, you're going to go through some hard things. You know, I don't know why we get shocked that just because we're believers that we have hard things, because Jesus said Himself, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. That's right. You guys are getting this. And finally, by the power of His Spirit, He gives us the power to share in the resurrection. Romans 8, verse 11. He gives us the power to share in the resurrection. Because He rose from the dead like He said He would, we then also know that if we taste death and lay in the grave before Christ returns, that that grave is not sealed forever. Because we will share in that resurrection. Romans 8:11 says, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. It's the same Spirit. Same Spirit that raised Christ from the tomb raises those that are the dead in Christ from the grave. Guys, we've got an awesome God. And we really, really need to share Him. You know, if you're born again, you're saved, you're in a walk with Christ, and you're doing good, great! I'm ecstatic. But share Him. Share Him with anyone who will listen. We are rapidly heading toward that season. The fields are ripe.
Yeah.
Fields are ripe. And God is ready to unleash His Spirit to draw people and open the hearts to the good news of the gospel that comes through us. He's ready to open those hearts. The ones that even a year ago would have rejected the message, He's going to open the hearts, and people are going to respond when we share Christ with them. Because this, I believe, will be the last great outpouring. It will be the last great awakening. It's the last chance for these people. And once Christ returns for the bride, the only chance they have left then is dealing with the Antichrist. And most of them will not be open to being martyred. Most people will not have the strength to be martyred. When the Antichrist comes on the scene and he says, "Are you a believer?" Boom. Or whatever the motive. We have such a responsibility as believers, and I think we have all too often shirked it. We share all kinds of things with people, but the only thing that is really, really important to share is Jesus. Because without Him, we have nothing. If people meet you and me, you meet me, and you forget about me, you haven't lost anything. But people that haven't met Jesus or have met Him and walked away from Him, they've lost everything. I'll stand together. Holy Spirit power, guys. Tap into the power source. Amen. Gotta be plugged in. Yes. Give God praise. Give God praise. Father, I just lift up my hands over this body of believers, and I pray in Jesus' name that you will convict us of the responsibility that we have to share the good news of Jesus with anyone that is willing to listen. Yes. And Father, I pray that you will protect us. That, Lord, you will protect us from sickness. That you will protect us from the wiles of the evil one. That you will give us the strength to bear up as the attacks come. That you will keep us in the palm of your hand.
Yes.
And that, Lord, you will be there with us as we walk through the trials that we're going through in this earth.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that because of your Spirit, we would be able to have a smile on our face and joy in our hearts.
Yes.
And Lord, that you will bring us back next weekend hungry and ready to be enriched and grow again in you. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless everybody.